Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 21, reading verses 1 to 16. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went abroad and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And after those days, we packed and went to Jerusalem. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, today we're looking at a passage that that speaks to us about how it is that we're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's about the Apostle Paul and his ministry and what was coming that he would face, not to mention the things that he'd already faced and the challenges of his ministry that he went through. And we know them very well if we've read Acts, the previous chapters, of the struggles that he had. But now, in this portion of his life, there are dangers that are coming, and his attitude in terms of putting first his service to the Lord Jesus Christ has applications to all of us. Because all of us that profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have confessed that we believe in him, that he's our Lord and Savior, and that we are his disciples, we're his followers, right? And that we are instruments in his hands. We're here to serve him. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here to reach the goals that we set for ourselves in this life and to become something and leave a legacy that most people speak about. But we're here simply to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only that that's going to last. When we personalize our life into just doing what we want to do and accomplishing what we set ourselves to do, then we are really deviating from the confession of faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we want to serve him. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, that doesn't mean that we all enter the ministry or become missionaries or other avenues of service. But it does mean that we First and foremost, our life is about being examples for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about sharing that wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others, that they might come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are part and parcel of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to see that grow. We want people to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that adds to the church and protects the church. But he does do it through servants. That we all have a different part to play, but nevertheless, we're all working towards the same end, to see the gospel spread from one end of the earth to the other. And so we've been sent out into all the nations of the world to preach the gospel. That's what they need. Beyond anything else that the world has need of, it's the gospel that's most important that they need. Of course, we don't shut our hearts to every other need that they have. We do, but never at the expense of the gospel. We never suspend the gospel and say, well, forget about the gospel, they need this. No, it's always the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ fed people. The Lord Jesus Christ healed people. But always in the context of the gospel, because that's what would truly bring them life. And so, as we look at the way Paul is proceeding in this part of his life, then there ought to be thinking in our minds, how do I approach life? How do I approach when difficult things happen, right? How do I think about them? And so here he is, Paul, giving himself to the Lord after all that he had done before in opposing Christ and persecuting Christ. And now he'd been brought to faith, and by the grace of God, just like Peter that we read, even though he had a tremendous fall in denying the Lord Jesus Christ, yet the Lord Jesus Christ had a place for him, a very important place, as an apostle, to take care of his sheep. And so same with the Apostle Paul. At one time, he's persecuting the sheep. He's bringing them to a prison in Jerusalem, chasing them all over the place. And now he becomes an instrument in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. An apostle. One that was going all over Asia Minor, planting churches and suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you think the Lord would give him, you know, a humble position just to be the doorkeeper after all that he had done? But you see, the Lord isn't like that. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't grudgingly receive us into his church. No. He manifests for all to see how glorious his love and grace are. That those that were his enemies, now through the gospel, they are his children, his chosen instrument, as it is said about Paul in Acts chapter 9. And verse 15. It was not some sort of army reserve where he'd serve for a little while and go and do his own business. No, it was all of his life, which is what the catechism tells us, does it? What is your only comfort in life and death? It's not that sometimes I serve the Lord. A portion of my life I set aside for him. I mean, that's not what the catechism says. The catechism teaches us to say that I'm not my own. I'm joyful about that. I'm not my own. I belong to him, body and soul. Body and soul. We're bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be free. We don't want to do our own thing. We don't want to escape. We are happy to be his servants. And we want to serve him. And so Paul understood that. He rejoiced in that fact, even when he was in difficulties, even when he was persecuted, even when he was beaten up and left as though he was dead, even though people were critical about him and insulted him. In all those times, he didn't forget that he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are. We are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. That's what we have. It's not that God has no plan for your life. He only has plans for leaders, ministers, elders, missionaries. It's only for them that he has a plan. But for you, no, you can just meander and do whatever you like. No, he has a plan for you too. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We are his workmanship. We have been created in Jesus Christ for good works which God prepared. He prepared for us certain things to do. Important things to do. For his church, for his kingdom, for his gospel. You're not an also man. You're just not just a statistic. God has a plan for you. And that ought to sink into our minds and into our hearts so that we're ready to serve him consciously to do that. Now we're living stones to be placed in a chosen place in the temple of God wherein God dwells. Now Christians mustn't act like mavericks that operate on their own with little regard to their place and position in the purposes of God or in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't go off on our by ourselves and do our own thing. No, we're part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of his kingdom. And we want to play that part, whatever that part may be. Now, there was a course to follow. When God chose Paul, he had a plan for his life, for his service. And that includes suffering. It includes challenges. And that's what Paul was following. And as we mentioned before, it wasn't so much left to us to figure out what we're going to do. No, we're guided by the Holy Spirit. And in Paul's case, in a special way, because when they were going to go in a certain direction in terms of preaching the gospel, a region, the Holy Spirit said no. And Paul didn't argue that fact. He didn't say, no, I think we're going to be successful in that area. We're going to go there. No. He was obedient. God is the architect. He's the one that is guiding everything. And so when he says no, we go somewhere else. We don't say, well, wait a minute, God, isn't that discriminating against those people? Aren't they supposed to hear the gospel too? No, they would, but not just at that time. And so he was to go somewhere else. And so Paul was obedient. He wasn't an expert missionary who knew exactly what to do and where to go. No, he was a servant in the hands of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit was the one that was leading him and guiding him. And of course, in our own lives, it's not so direct in terms of the Holy Spirit revealing to us where we should go. But certainly the Word of God directs us in terms of how we ought to behave and what we ought to do in terms of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the word for that. And so we are to think about what we're doing. We are to evaluate what we're doing in terms of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and not think, oh, whatever we do is fine. No, we need to ask ourselves, how is it I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ? How is it I'm serving his kingdom? That's a thought that ought to be forefront in our minds, looking for those opportunities that God brings to us. As I said, here is this special revelation that's given to Paul in terms of these other prophets, as we'll see in a minute, that's not the normal way that Christians find what it is that God wants them to do. God works in us by his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us through his word. so that we recognize those opportunities and avenues of service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do them. But if we never think about those things, then we basically just live our own life. There's really not part and parcel of God's purposes because we're just doing our own thing. No, we need to be mindful of the fact that we are servants of His, and we want to do things that are pleasing to Him, and that means we do those things that are in accordance with the Scriptures. And so we have to bring every thought, every desire, every goal, we have to evaluate in light of the Scriptures. Am I doing it just for myself? Am I doing it just to make a name for myself? Or am I doing it to bring honor and glory to His name and to further His wonderful kingdom and gospel? Because after all, that's what the Scriptures teach. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. You would think that in those areas we can just eat without having those thoughts in our minds. But the Scriptures say no. Even on that level, we need to be consciously doing it to the glory of God. So servants are compared to soldiers and athletes and farmers that serve and a hard work to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, we recall that the Apostle Peter was restored to serve, and details of his service were revealed in regard to how he would give his life for the Lord. So he's restored, and then the Lord is saying, well, you know, when you were young, you went, you know, went in your own strength, but there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. Somebody else is going to lead you to where you do not want to go. Not that he's digging in his heels, but it's not a pleasant place that he's taking you to. And the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is referring to the way that Peter would give his life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that he denied the Lord Jesus Christ exactly for that reason. He didn't want to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want to lose his life. And so he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this point, he doesn't say, well, Lord, if that's what's going to happen, I don't want to be following you anymore. Because I don't want that kind of an end. No, he heard that, and he still followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did lay down his life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel. So wherever the Lord Jesus Christ leads us, we serve him. There's going to be times in this suffering, but we don't turn around. We don't say, I give up. This is not fair, right? Peter didn't say, well, that's not fair. Although he did say, what about this guy? Right? What about him? What's going to happen to him? Like, there should be equality. If I'm going to lose my life, he should suffer something too. And he says, what about him? And Jesus said, why are you asking that question? What's that to you? If he doesn't suffer at all, if he goes to heaven like Elijah did on a chariot of fire, what's that to you? Is that going to change your service to me? Oh, are you going to always be looking around at other Christians saying, well, wait a minute, why am I suffering more than other people? Why do I get the disease? Why do I have these difficulties? Why do I have financial issues and other people don't? That's not fair. Is that what we're going to say? Or are we going to do our part joyfully? Because he's done so much for us that we have not an inkling of complaining to him, because he took our sins upon himself. And there was no word of complaint from the cross. Not one word of complaint. But rather he gave his life for us. And it was an unconditional service. Paul gives insight to his approach to serving the Lord. He says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit reveals in every city that chains and tribulations await me. He He went with his eyes open. He's going to Jerusalem. He knows exactly what's going to happen in Jerusalem, and yet he's going. And every step of the way, people are saying, don't go, don't go. And they're sad about it. And they're weeping because of what's going to happen to him. And yet he says, no, I go bound. Not, he doesn't mean I'm tied up, I can't escape. No, no, no. He's bound to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never going to go back. He doesn't want to go back. And no matter what's coming, he is going to be obedient to God himself. And he signifies this by his words to the Ephesian elders. He was committed to finishing the race with joy. Finishing the race with joy. I fought the good fight. There's no turning back. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, exemplified that. His commitment, as he set his face towards Jerusalem like a flint, that would not turn this way or that way. And yet his own disciples were telling him not to go to Jerusalem. They said, no, 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 they're waiting for you, right? They're setting a plot for you. They're going to do some damage to you. Don't go, don't go. And the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't have any of it. And in fact, spoke in a very strong way to Peter. Right? Get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't mind the things of God, but the things of men. This is the reason I came. This is the hour of glory. No, I have to go to Jerusalem. And that's where Paul gets it from. That's why Paul is so determined. He couldn't give you a reason. He couldn't say, oh, this is a plan of God. This is what God wants to do. But he knew God had a plan. For the Apostle Paul to go to Jerusalem, to face that wickedness on the part of Jewish leaders, but then of escorting him, giving him a ride all the way to Rome, where even some in Caesar's household were converted. And what an impact. Even in Rome, even in Caesar's household, the gospel made its way because God's servants did as God wanted them to do. And though it was through suffering, through being unjustly treated, tried to be killed, assassinating attempts, but nevertheless, God's purposes were accomplished. Now, people of God, we're called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us, in different ways, but nevertheless just as important. And so we all need to have that mindset that as we go into this week, we're going to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to always be sensitive to the opportunities that God gives to us. And they won't be easy opportunities to take. It's not always easy when an opportunity arises to be bold and speak the word of God and encourage people. Because we're afraid, what will they say about us? At least you only have to think about what they will say. There were times in Paul's life and in other people's lives, it wasn't just a matter of what they would say, it's what they would do when they preached the gospel. But nevertheless, they did. Again, if permit me to make a personal comment in that regard. As you know, my mother was a Christian well before my father. And she would say, to us and my brother, share the gospel with him. Right? To my father, share the gospel with him. And then we would say, but Mom, he gets mad and then he takes it out on you. Right? He's going to get angry at you. And so, if we do that, that's what's going to happen. But she didn't care. She didn't care. She wanted us to take those opportunities to preach the gospel to him. right, to be a witness. And we did. And he would get angry. But, you know, he did say later on when he, like, gave a testimony of his life, that at those times, you know, when we shared the gospel and we would, you know, be overcome by his stubbornness, right, and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would rather go to hell than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think, boy, that's, you know, there's no chance, right? But in his testimony, he said, on that particular occasion, he said, he went out and wept, right? Toward us, he was, you know, harsh, but he said he went out and wept. And he did become a Christian. So it's not always easy to share the gospel, but that's what we're called to do. And so we need to be faithful in that. I don't mean to say, whenever we meet anyone, that's the first thing we start with. But God does give us opportunities. And we need to take those opportunities up. And so God encouraged Paul, led Paul, and for the help of others, in terms of other people being helped, it transpired this way. So they were saying to him, this is what God's will is, right? Prophetically, that you're going to go to Jerusalem and you're going to be bound, like Agabus said, right? The one that owns his boat is going to be bound when he goes to Jerusalem. Even though they said that, they were saying, don't go to Jerusalem. Can you imagine? I mean, on the one hand, they're bringing God's word, and then the next, they're saying, don't do it. Right? Don't do it. Don't go. Because they loved him. They cared for him, right? But it's misplaced. When this is God's will and he's making it clear through the prophets. And Paul says that they were breaking his heart. Right? That it was hard enough for him to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and go there and face all of this. But now there's weeping on these people that love him, right? That care for him, but don't want him to go. And they're becoming obstacles. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ said about Peter and the apostles. They didn't do it because, I mean, they said the things they did because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. But loving him doesn't excuse them trying to stop him obeying his Father's will and laying down his life for his sheep. Now, there are times that's going to be suffering, as Isaiah 53 clearly speaks about the suffering servant and what he would face. But nevertheless, he did. But what a witness that is of Paul to how glorious the gospel is. That even though I'm going to suffer, nevertheless, it's right for me to go and present the gospel. It's right to me to be a witness to them. And it's a witness to the world that we care so much about the gospel. It's so important to us that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ invests so much money to send people into lands that resist the gospel, that nevertheless we send people there, and people leave their families behind, and they go and preach the gospel to those people. That's how much we love them. That's how important the gospel is. That's the agenda that we have. It's not to rule them. It's not to control them. No, it's so that they may come into the glorious freedom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy to do. And so here we find in this passage that it is all undergirded by prayer. And so when they were going through this, it says in verse 6, and we knelt down on the shore and we prayed. We look to the Lord for strength. We look to the Lord for courage. We look to the Lord for clarity. So that even though we're facing difficult times, they were facing difficult times, nevertheless, they look to the Lord for strength and help. I mean, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do in terms of the cross? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying to his Father. He wasn't belittling the challenge that would lay before him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. It is a struggle. For each and every one of us, it's a struggle. But we come to the Lord in prayer. We bow before him. We ask him for wisdom. We ask him for strength and courage so that we can go forward and obey him when we're surrounded with all kinds of conflict and enemies. You can't do it in your own strength. But we can be more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so be of good courage. Be strong. Be courageous. Understand what God's purposes are for each and every one of us. Let us not compare ourselves with others. Let us not say, oh, God has a purpose for him, but no, me, I've got nothing to give. No, each and every one of us has. Let us be faithful in that. And though it bring us trouble, let us bear it patiently by the grace that he provides as we call upon him for strength so that we can do what we've confessed to do, which is to be his disciples and spread that glorious gospel. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have not only forgiven us for the sins that we've committed, terrible things, that we've insulted you in our words, in our thoughts, and in our deeds. Even when you have forgiven us our sins, we fail and we fall just like Peter did. And yet, you continue to use us to be your representatives. You pleading with the world through us that they should be saved. And our Father in heaven, we are so humbled and grateful for that. And our Father in heaven, we pray that each of us may be committed to whatever role you have for us to play. Whatever opportunities you grant us in this week, that we will, in your strength, be instruments in your hands at that point, to be light, to be salt, to call upon them, to repent, to be saved, to be cleansed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and join us to be part of your flock and your servants, to have a powerful impact upon the world around us and bring them peace and salvation. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would be with your servants, those that are sent out, those that are isolated, Lord, that they might be strong, that they may know that you are with them, and we are praying for them, that the gospel may continue to go forth. Our Father in heaven, hear our prayers. Be pleased to use us. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the red hymnal number 686.